When Vika awoke, she found her face pressed against Slash's back. Her arms were around his neck, and her feet dragged along the rock as he hauled her through the tunnel.
Jig, she's drooling again. It's disgusting.
Could be worse. At least she's not bleeding on you.
Oh.
You're alive, all of you?
The lizard fish all fled back into the water when you dropped your spell. You kept them out of the lake for too long. Their skin was dry and cracked, and they were climbing over one another to get back.
Hesitantly, afraid of what she might feel, Vika reached down to where she had felt the horrible pinching sensation of Jig's sword. There was a ragged hole in her cloak. Both the cloak and the shirt beneath were still sticky with blood, but her skin was soft and whole. Jig had healed her.
You are under a pixie spell. They've been controlling you since you left Strom's cave. What happened after you ran away?
I descended.
Her hands automatically moved to check her pockets. Both books were still there. She pulled out the Path of the Hero, holding it with both hands.
I descended through darkness and sludge and tunnel cuts and emerged into the silver light of Strom's cavern. The hero's path shall descend into darkness, but upon the hero's return, her symbolic rebirth, she shall have the power to triumph. That's what Joska said, and I descended. I descended and returned, and he stabbed me.
But you were trying to kill us.
You don't understand. I was supposed to be strong. Jag wasn't supposed to beat me. All that magic, and he still beat me.
Vika flung the book away. Pages flapped, and the book thumped against the tunnel wall.
Hey, watch it, stupid goblin. Jig should have left you for the lizard fish. Gods know there's enough of you to go around.
I did everything Joska said.
The pixies said the queen had come into our world. Do you know where she went? How many pixies are we up against? Where are the ogres?
I don't know.
She's useless.
Like a hobgoblin guard who's afraid of blood?
Shut up, both of you. The pixies will know Vika's no longer enchanted. Next, they'll probably send their ogres up to wipe us out.
So what? They'll have to go through the hobgoblins before they can get to us.
You rat-eating coward!
We've taken the brunt of every group of adventurers, explorers, and heroes who ever came to this mountain. It's about time you hobgoblins took a turn.
Or else the pixies could wait and let us kill each other.
Snixley said something about bringing the queen to her new home.
Snixley?
The pixie who controlled me.
Where was this home? In Strom's cavern or somewhere else?
He didn't say.
Why leave Strom's cave at all? That's the safest place in the whole mountain. In all those years, how many adventurers ever reached the dragon?
The cave is too cramped for pixies.
How did you overcome the pixies' control over me?
Steel. The pixies call it death metal. Something about it disrupts their magic. That's how we freed Slash when he got stabbed. Oh, no.
What?
The pixies told me I opened the way for them when I killed Strom. They said it was my fault. Do you remember what Strom's lair was like right after he died?
Full of clutter and junk. Books, pots, paintings, coins, armor, every bit of garbage that old lizard had collected in his lifetime.
Including weapons and armor. Every sword, every knife, every shield and breastplate, all of it was mounted on the cave walls. He lined the whole cave with steel, and after he died...
We picked the place clean. Oh, whoops.
Snixley said it took powerful magic to open a gateway. The greatest concentration of magic over here would have been Strom's cave, where the dragon's own power had seeped into the rock over thousands of years.
We should get back to the lair. We'll send some of the goblins to help the hobgoblins in case the ogres come up through the lake.
Krauk will never agree to that.
I don't think Krauk's gonna object too much, seeing as how she's dead.
Dead? Then who...
That's right. Come on.
Vika trudged along behind them. Her foot brushed her copy of The Path of the Hero where it had fallen. She hesitated, then continued after the others. Vika could feel the tension the moment they stepped into the lair. The muck pits were all full and burning. Goblins cast wary looks at the entrance until they saw who it was.
Now what?
Jig raised his battered sword over his head and slammed it three times against the ground. Sparks flew from the steel, and a shard of metal broke away. It got the goblin's attention.
The pixies and ogres have taken over the lower caverns. Soon they'll be coming after us. I'm betting they'll come through the lake to attack the hobgoblins. So we're going to help them.
Help the hobgoblins or the pixies?
The hobgoblins.
Why?
Why not let the hobgoblins wear them down? Then we can finish off whoever survives.
Vika waited to see what Jig would do. But Jig simply stood there, looking more and more nervous. Vika couldn't believe it. Jig didn't know what to do. Grell stepped forward. Her dry fingers dug into Jig's shoulder, pushing him aside.
You idiots couldn't stop one lone ogre from marching through this place before, and he wasn't even trying to kill you. What are you gonna do against an army of them? Hobgoblins too, most likely. Every hobgoblin who falls could be enchanted, sent out to fight the goblins. If we help the hobgoblins fight, we might be able to do some damage, but only if you stop asking stupid questions and start listening to what the chief has to say!
There's an even better reason! If we help the hobgoblins, then every time you see one of those yellow-skinned freaks, you can gloat about how we had to save their worthless hides from the ogres!
You should do it because it's Jig's idea!
The words slipped out before Vika even realized she had spoken. She saw Jig's mouth open in disbelief. She couldn't even look at him as she stepped forward to address the goblins.
Jig fought an ogre and won down in Strom's cavern. He killed two pixies, he killed the necromancer, he killed Strom himself. Not only did he win every one of those battles, he kept his companions alive as well. If Jig says we have to help the hobgoblins, you can bet it's the only way we're going to survive.
Actually, we're probably going to die.
I'm thinking you shouldn't mention that.
The strongest warriors will go to the hobgoblins to help fight. The rest stay here. Some of you will barricade the lair, and a handful will come with me.
And you're not going to like where we're going.
23 goblins waited outside the doorway as Jig and Slash searched through Kralk's armory, collecting every knife, sword, mace, morning star, and axe they could find. Anything would do, so long as it was steel.
Any reason you didn't share these toys with the goblins heading out to the hobgoblin lair?
I'm betting they won't be fighting pixies. Not many at any rate. The pixies will stay in their own world as much as possible. That's where they're strongest. And if I'm right, we're going to need all the help we can get.
Jig picked up a quiver of steel-tipped arrows. He had also spotted an enormous bow, but he hadn't been able to find a bowstring, and the only crossbow had been disassembled so Slash could use the string in one of his traps. But the arrows were long and heavy enough he might be able to use them as spears, which could be useful against an airborne enemy. He had to make several attempts to get the leather strap over his pixie-cursed arm, but once he managed, the quiver fit fairly well. Jig turned his head to search for more weapons.
Oh!
The end of an arrow poked him in the ear. Slash stooped to pick up a nasty-looking barbed trident.
Leave that. Leave everything longer than your arm.
Why? You goblins not strong enough for real weapons.
Slash hefted a thick quarterstaff with iron bands around either end.
This could do some serious damage without drawing much blood, don't you think?
Jig ignored him. Carrying weapons under his arm, he stepped through the doorway, being careful not to trigger Slash's traps. Several knives fell onto the ground. Jig dumped the rest in a pile.
Take whatever you can carry, but don't overload yourself.
Jig studied the goblins closely as they scrambled to arm themselves. He hadn't tried to pick and choose who would accompany him. Instead, he had let the goblins choose for him when he ordered the strongest warriors to help the hobgoblins. As a result, Jig had been left with the weakest goblins in the lair. the scrawny, thin-limbed goblins who slunk into the shadows and hid from danger. The ones who survived through thievery and betrayal rather than facing their enemies head-on. The ones who had to be twice as cunning as the rest of the lair just to survive. These were the goblins Jig wanted. Braff and Slash towered over the others. Even Jig didn't feel like such a runt among this crowd. Most of the weapons had disappeared, and the goblins eyed one another warily as they waited for Jig to speak.
The Pixie Queen sent a handful of pixies into our world to prepare the way. They killed or enslaved most of the ogres, but instead of moving up into the necromancer's tunnels, they burrowed through the rock until they reached the bottomless pit, where they've been hunting and destroying the giant bats. They're building their lair in the bottomless pit. That's where they'll bring the queen. If we can get there before they do, we might be able to ambush them.
I still smell like goblin filth. Now you expect me to climb back down through?
No, I don't. This is a goblin mission. I'll understand if you prefer to stay behind where it's safer.
I'll go. The hobgoblin might be a coward, but I'm...
Who are you calling coward, rat eater?
I'll go too.
Why, so you can get yourself pixie charmed again.
You are enchanted too.
Ow!
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 Stop standing there with your mouth hanging open. You're chief, remember? Try to act like it.
We're going to climb down through the garbage to a tunnel that will take us to the bottomless pit. Braff and Slash, you two stay in the back. Make sure nobody tries to sneak away. You too, Grell.
Grell raised both eyebrows but said nothing as Jig turned to lead the goblins toward the waste pit. He stroked Smudge, perched comfortably on his left shoulder. His good ear twisted back as he listened for every footstep. There it was, a slight change in footfalls. One set drawing nearer, while the others pulled back, giving the chosen goblin room to make his or her move. Jig grabbed his sword arm with his free hand and spun, hoisting the blade into the path of his would-be killer. His attacker slammed onto the broken sword, knocking them both down. Jig found himself staring into the face of Relka, one of Golaka's kitchen assistants. The knife in her hand fell to the ground. Jig kicked her off of his sword. Relka wasn't dead. She clutched her bleeding stomach and scooted back, her huge eyes never leaving Jig's sword.
Stay here. Have Golaka bandage you up. If you're still alive when we get back, I'll heal you then. Assuming we get back.
Jig turned his back on Relka, trying not to feel too bad as she crawled away. He hoped she would survive. She made the best snake egg omelets. But her attack had done what Jig hoped. The other goblins looked terrified. Jig shook his head.
Wasn't hard to guess one of them would try to kill me.
Maybe, but think about what they saw. You just took out a potential assassin without even looking. They won't try to stab you in the back again anytime soon.
No, next time they'll try something sneakier.
Climbing up through the waste pit had been bad enough. Climbing down, leading a group of 20-plus goblins and one grumbling hobgoblin was far worse. Only the cramped confines of the pit, which kept them all moving one at a time, prevented bloodshed. Jig had ordered several goblins to carry muck lanterns. As an unexpected bonus, the light and heat seemed to frighten off the tendrilled slugs that clung to the sides of the pit. Even with several ropes anchored in the goblin lair, it was a miracle nobody had fallen. Jig relaxed his grip and let himself drop a bit, away from the bulk of the group. Braff nearly fell as he shoved past another goblin to catch up with Jig.
How many ogres and pixies do you think we'll get to kill?
None, if you keep talking so loudly. You didn't get a weapon?
Oh, I stocked up on the rocks instead. If we're going to fight pixies at the pit, I thought we might want some kind of ranged weapon.
You thought of that all yourself?
No, Grell did. She told me I'd better stick to rocks or else I'd hurt myself. Or did she say she'd hurt me?
Brav, back when I was trying to get the goblins to help the hobgoblins, you told them they should do it because we'd be able to gloat. What made you say that?
Because it's true.
You're not as dumb as you pretend to be, are you?
Maybe.
Then why...
You'd do the same thing if you were me.
Huh?
How does a goblin captain take command of his group?
The same way a goblin becomes chief. Kill the former captain along with anyone else who opposes you.
Look at me, Jig. Big, strong, and threatening. If you're, well, someone like you, you'll see me as a bully, and you'll try to kill me in my sleep. If you're a warrior, you see me as competition. If you're a captain, you see me as a threat. If you don't kill me outright, you'll send me out to fight tunnel cats or ogres, or order me to march into a hobgoblin trap. You think it's coincidence there are no old goblin warriors?
No.
So, I play dumb. I drop my weapon. I let others play their stupid tricks. I didn't expect to get a fang punched up my nose, but the point is, if I'm dumb, I'm not a threat. The teasing and the jokes are annoying, but better than the alternative.
So, why do you let Grell hit you all the time?
Grell knows what I'm doing. She helps me. I can pretend to be stupid, and she stops me before I do anything too dangerous. It's kind of fun.
Fun?
Sure. You're always so uptight, so afraid of messing everything up. With me, people expect it. Naturally, if you tell anyone, I'll strip the skin from your body and feed it to the worms.
Naturally.
Hey, when did it get so cold down here?
Jig hadn't really noticed, but Broth was right. The stone was cool to the touch, and the air below. A silver fog was creeping slowly up the pit below. After what seemed like an eternity, Jig and his reluctant followers reached the bottom of the pit and found themselves in an abandoned cavern covered with fog and snow.
Where are we?
Jig wasn't sure. The rippling texture of the obsidian, combined with the lead-colored frost, created the illusion of being surrounded by molten metal. The light of their lanterns had taken on the same bronze tinge he remembered from his excursion into Straum's cavern.
Shadowstar, can you hear me?
Nothing. The pixie's world was expanding much faster than he had expected. That couldn't be good. Jig looked around, and for one panicked moment he wasn't sure which tunnel led out to the pit. Everything was so different with the fog and the snow. He began following the cavern wall. His sword dragged lines through the frost beside him.
Oh, this looks a bit like our lair.
Jig glanced around. Broth was right. The cavern was larger, but he could easily imagine goblins or hobgoblins making a home of this place. He hadn't seen much the last time he was here, being too eager to escape. But now he looked more closely. Bits of rotted rope still circled one of the obsidian pillars, far too old to have been left by the ogres. When they reached the tunnel, Jig spotted a rusted hinge hanging from a scrap of wood beside the opening. He tried to pry it free, and the wood crumbled in his hand. Jig had never heard of goblins living this far down, but clearly someone used to inhabit this cavern.
Keep your weapons ready. The last time we were here, we faced ogres and pixies both.
And rock serpents. Don't forget about them.
Yeah, yeah. Come on.
Jig walked into the tunnel, followed by the others. They passed a mass of carrion worms, a knee-high mound of the squirming creatures huddled together to one side of the tunnel. They seemed to be climbing over one another, all trying to get to the top of the pile.
They're freezing to death. They pile together for warmth. We do something similar with the babies, tossing them all into a single crib when the air gets too chilly.
The cold appeared to be even harder on the rock serpents. Jig saw several snakes coiled into tight spirals for warmth. They weren't dead, but for all practical purposes, the tunnel was unguarded.
Smother the lanterns!
As the flames died, he began to make out the open space at the end of the tunnel. A long, stiff shape lay on the ground near the edge. Vika's staff, right where it had fallen when Slash kicked her in the head. Jig glanced back. Vika had seen it too. She stepped past him, her eyes never leaving the staff. She pried the staff up, leaving a perfect impression of the wood in the frost and ice. Jig wrapped his good hand around the handle of his sword, wondering if Vika was about to try something heroic again. But she seemed content to stand there, staring at the staff. Jig edged around her, wondering if the pixies had damaged her brain. Jig crept to the edge of the tunnel. When he looked out into the pit and saw the swarm of pixies darting through the darkness, he found himself wondering if he should just throw himself over the edge. At least that way he might hit one on the way down. They had changed the pit itself. Shimmering silver bubbles, each one larger than Jig himself, covered the walls. In most places, the bubbles pressed against each other, their sides flattening where they touched. In one spot, the bubbles were two or three layers thick. As Jig watched, a pair of green pixies flew out to hover near a bare patch of rock. These were smaller than the pixies Jig had seen before, and they had only two wings, not four. Their lights faded somewhat as they touched the stone. When they drew back their hands, a thin, transparent bubble followed. Ripples of color spread across the bubble's surface as it grew. The pixies floated, motionless except for the blur of their wings as the bubble grew. When it was as large as the others, they dropped away. The color continued to spread across the bubble's surface, rings bouncing back and forth before gradually fading to a more uniform silver. One of the green pixies pressed her hand against the bubble. Her hand disappeared, and the pixie squeezed through the surface and disappeared inside the silver shell. Her companion floated back, allowing the wind to carry him up until he reached another patch of bare rock.
What is it?
They're building a hive.
The other goblins had crept up behind Jig, straining to see into the pit. A younger goblin, Grop, was leaning so far out that his shadow was visible on the roof of the tunnel. Jig grabbed him by the arm and yanked him back.
How are we supposed to fight that?
Quiet!
Jig peered up toward the old bridge connecting the necromancer's tunnels. A handful of pixies buzzed around the bridge. Darker shapes resolved into ogre warriors as a pixie flew past. Wonderful.
It gets worse.
Of course it does.
Vika pointed down to the thickest cluster of bubbles, down where the pixie tunnel emerged from Straum's cavern.
The queen is down there.
Are you sure?
It's hard to describe. I can feel their magic like a wind.
Do you think maybe, just maybe, that could be the wind?
It's like she's sucking the magic into herself and drawing the rest of the pixies to her. Not physically, but their magic, their minds. Everything about them revolves around the queen.
Jig adjusted his spectacles. He thought he saw a spot of pure white light below, but it was hard to be sure. What had Pinny said? None can look upon a pixie queen without loving her. Either that light wasn't the queen, or Jig was too far away to be affected. The one thing he felt was sheer, gut-churning fear.
We should go back. We can help the others barricade the lair and...
And what?
Why didn't they leave guards in this tunnel?
This crack isn't easy to see from out there. The overhang makes it look like part of the rock. The pixies aren't telepathic. If you killed the only two who found the tunnel, they might not know about it yet. He didn't tell anyone about me and Slash.
Lucky us.
Jig peeked into the pit again, trying to see how high the pixies' world reached. Only the occasional spark marked the expanding border between their world and his own, but that border appeared to be well past the necromancer's old bridge.
They needed weeks to take over Strom's cavern.
We need to cut off the source of their magic.
I know that. I thought we could destroy their gateway after we killed the queen and eradicated her army of pixies. And then I figured I'd resurrect Strom, the dragon, and use his breath to toast my breakfast rats.
Another of the goblins, Var, spoke up.
Are you sure we shouldn't go back?
No. The pixies are like insects. What do you do when you find wasps building a nest in the lair?
Burn it.
Knock it down and use a stick to hide it in Captain Kullock's chamber pot.
Everything the pixies do, they do for their queen. We attack the nest, kill the queen, and their whole purpose for coming here is gone.
You know, I've seen wasps get pretty riled up when someone pokes their nest. Even if we manage to kill the queen, we're still going to have an army of angry pixies after our hides.
Well, we'll have that anyway, won't we?
Jag's right. As long as the queen lives, every pixie you see will fight to the death. With her gone, they might be willing to negotiate, like Jig did with the hobgoblins.
Or they might kill us all for revenge.
No. The climax of the hero's journey is the battle through death. No reasonable person could hope to survive this final conflict, but the true hero shall discover a way. This is that battle, and Jig will get you through it.
Only one way to find out.
Before Jig could think up something inspirational to say, Vika moved closer. Jig started to back away, but she reached out and tapped his sword arm with her staff.
What are you... You mean you could have done that the whole time?
I'm sorry, I couldn't bring myself to try any magic until now. I should have, but the spell is straightforward. Even easier than controlling the lizard fish. Just a simple command to the residual life in the leather.
The sword dropped to the ground. Jig winced and glanced out at the pit, but the pixies didn't appear to have noticed the sound. His fingers were still molded to the shape of the hilt, and deep wrinkles marked his arm. The flesh was so pale it was almost white, with dark lines and bruises where the skin had pinched and folded over itself.
So why didn't you...
That was as far as he got, and then the blood began to flow through his veins again. Jig fell back. With every heartbeat, 1,000 hammers smashed the bones of his arm and hand. Tunnel cats chewed the joints from the inside out, and the skin was molten lead. Jig stared at the frosted rock overhead until tears blurred the patterns into a field of grey. If he could have reached his sword, he would have cut off his own arm at the shoulder to stop the pain.
Shadowstag!
The god couldn't hear him. Not down here. It was just as well, because at the moment, the pain was so intense that Jig passed out. Having slipped away without the others noticing, Vika hurried through the darkness, pulling her cloak tight with one hand for warmth and clutching her staff in the other. She slowed, searching for the crack where she had descended to the pixie's cavern. She poked her staff at the rock as she went.
Vika! Wait up!
Slash?
I hate that name, you know.
What are you doing here?
I saw you slipping away from the others.
So you came to stop me from running away like a coward?
I came to join you. If you really thought Jig had any chance at all, you would have stayed. No, the only thing that crazy runt is going to do is get himself and the rest of his little band slaughtered.
I'm going to destroy the gateway from the pixies' world.
My mistake. For a moment there, I forgot that all goblins were crazy.
Most of the pixies will be with the queen. She's more important than anything.
Oh, so you have a way to sneak down into Strom's lair?
There's a crevasse where water runs down through the rock. Snixley brought me down before I...
Before you came back to murder some hobgoblins. That's right. I was under the pixie spell too, remember? But I didn't march into the goblin lair and start slaughtering rat-eaters. Nobody forced me to do anything. You wanted to kill those hobgoblins.
I didn't care about the hobgoblins. I wanted to fight Jig.
Why?
I wanted to prove I was better than he was. Better than all of them.
Oh. Well, come on, where is it?
Where is what?
The secret runoff of yours.
I don't understand. You're not going to kill me?
Ugh. With enslaved ogres going after the hobgoblins up above, and Jig fighting the bulk of the pixies down here, I'm starting to think you've got the best idea. Strom's cavern might be the safest place in this whole cursed mountain. It's not like I'd be much use in battle anyway.
This way, I think.
Vika raised her ears, listening for the sound of water. But either they weren't close enough to hear it, or else the water had frozen in the cold.
Tap your weapon along the other side of the tunnel near the bottom. Let me know if you find it.
Just promise me we won't have to climb through any more garbage.
Vika found the crack eventually. The water had indeed frozen, turning the rocks even more treacherous. The algae and slime were dying, but enough life remained for her to use them to help control her descent. Her staff, she simply dropped. It fell down a short distance before getting stuck. She kicked it again, knocking the end loose so it fell a bit more. Above her head, Slash's feet slipped. He fell only a short way before catching himself on the rock.
Damn Vika. Grinder in the tunnel cat kibble.
There!
Below Vika's feet, silver light outlined a jagged opening. Her staff had dropped through and now lay in the snow and ice beyond. She could probably use pixie magic to levitate herself down. Slash made the point moot when he lost his grip. He knocked into Vika and they both fell.
Graceful, as always.
The top of the cavern appeared to be much lower than before. If Vika held one end of her staff, she would be able to tap the rock overhead. She rolled onto her side, wincing as the movement revealed new bruises on her elbow and shoulder.
We're here.
Here was an enormous slab of silver ice. The top of the cavern wasn't low at all. Instead, the ice lifted them to the height of the trees. Vika could see withered treetops poking through various spots. The slab itself had cracked and broken in places, leaving the surface slightly tilted. Pushing herself to her knees, Vika could feel her body starting to slide to the right, away from the crack. She grabbed her staff and jabbed the end against the ice for balance. The ice directly beneath the opening overhead was smooth, almost like a puddle. Water must have continued to drip down after the cavern froze.
Which way?
Vika closed her eyes, concentrating on the flow of the magic. She pointed toward the source of the flow. That should be the gateway, clear on the far side of the cavern. Tightening her cloak, she took a step. She began to slide down the ice. She tried to grab a tuft of pine tree in passing, but the brown branch snapped off in her hand, and then she was falling again. This time, snow cushioned her landing. She found herself in a canyon of ice, three times as tall as any ogre. The gap was barely wide enough for her to fit. The fog was thickest here, curling up from the snow and the icy walls. Slash made his way after her. Vika closed her eyes again, tapping into the magic to cast a quick levitation spell, just enough to nudge the hobgoblin behind the knees.
Damn it.
The ice had a copper, cloudy hue when viewed from down here.
This way.
The canyon didn't go in precisely the right direction, but she could always levitate them out and over the ice. For now, though, staying down here kept them out of sight of any pixies who might have stayed behind. Then again, trying to cross the ice above offered the possibility of sending Slash for another spill. Reluctantly, Vika decided to stick with the canyon. The ice walls closed in on them before they had walked very far, but the slab on the right tilted upward enough for them to crawl beneath the edge. Vika tightened her robe, then dropped to her knees. A short distance away, she could see a triangle of light from the far side of the slab. It should be a simple matter to scoot beneath it and continue along the other side. Keeping her staff in one hand, she began to crawl past a thick tree trunk that rose right through the ice. She had only gone a short distance when Slash seized her ankle. Vika twisted. Slash slammed into the ice above them.
Sorry.
Slash's hands and knees dug long gouges through the flattened, muddy earth as he tried to break free, but his body remained pinned to the ice overhead.
Would you mind?
Vika dropped him.
Stupid goblin witch. I'll let you keep going for that.
What do you mean?
Look at the ground. Dead and dying grass. Broken splinters that used to be saplings. A few stray vines and muddy ice overhead. Except for that spot right in front of you.
So there's a puddle. Do you think it might have something to do with all the ice?
Do you see any other puddles? It's a trap. Look at the ice.
Most of the ice was rough and muddy, full of stones and twigs, and at least one buck-toothed squirrel still clutching a nut in his claws. He had probably frozen to death and been trapped in the swift-forming ice. Directly in front of Vika, however, the ice was clear and clean. A few bronze-colored vines crept around the edges, defining a roughly circular patch. Clusters of swollen globules dangled from the vines by knife-like leaves. Within the clear patch, long needles of ice hung like the malachite formations back at the Lizardfish Lake. As she watched, a drop of water fell from one of the spikes.
What is it?
Slash reached into one of the pouches on his belt and pulled out several metal objects no wider than his thumb. Each one had four barbed spikes protruding from the centre.
Goblin prickers. You scatter them on the ground and wait for some dumb goblin to run past. If you're feeling really nasty, you do it near a tunnel cat lair. The goblin steps on the pricker. His scream wakes up the cats. The cats smell the blood, and we sit back and make wagers on how far the goblin will be able to limp before the cats get him.
Slash crawled past Vika and tossed one of the goblin prickers into the puddle. The instant it hit the water, the ice above exploded. A coiled snake of gold fire streaked to the ground and seized the goblin pricker in its mouth. The snake was fairly small, about the size of the average carrion worm. Vika could see several sets of rudimentary wings pressed flat against its burning scales. The snake wasn't truly on fire, she saw. Like the pixies, it gave off a great deal of heat, light, and sparks. Those sparks brightened, turning almost white as the snake realized what it had caught. Water splashed as the snake flailed its head, trying to rid itself of the goblin pricker. One of the barbs had stuck in its lower jaw. Smoke trailed from the snake's mouth.
I guess they aren't too fond of steel either.
Eventually, the snake dislocated its own jaw, then used its fangs to rip the goblin pricker free. With its wings folded back like armor, it shot up into the ice and disappeared. Slash scooted ahead to reclaim his goblin pricker.
I doubt the pixies did this. The labor-to-victim ratio is all wrong. Too much work for too few victims. This is a natural trap. Probably how that thing hunts for food.
We need to get out of here. We'll go over the ice and hope they don't spot us. That'll be faster anyway.
Slash followed Vika out from beneath the ice. When they reached the canyon, Vika wiped damp, muddy hair from her face and stared at the sky.
How many of those goblin pricks do you have?
Goblin prickers. 8. Though one is still a little slimy from that snake. Poor fella.
Give them to me.
Slash handed Vika a small jingling pouch. She pulled out one of the goblin prickers and tried to levitate it. Almost immediately, the metal grew so hot she had to fling it away. The pricker bounced off the ice and dropped to the ground, completely unaffected by her spell.
Interesting strategy. How exactly is this going to get us to Strom's cave?
Shut up.
While she waited for the first goblin pricker to cool, Vika pulled out another and examined it more closely. The whole thing was steel, rusted a bit toward the center, but gleaming brightly at the points. She drove one of the goblin pricker's barbs deep into the wood of her staff, then concentrated. The staff began to float. She could feel heat coming from the metal, but as long as she focused her spell on the wood, she could control it.
Help me find more wood. Small pieces, but solid enough to hold the goblin pricker without splitting.
After a bit of scrounging, they gathered enough broken branches for all 8 prickers. Vika embedded each one into a chunk of wood. She tucked most of the goblin prickers back into her pouch, but kept a few in her hand, just in case.
Ready?
Ready for what?
Vika grinned and waved her staff. Ideally, her robe should have fluttered around her feet as she floated into the air, but after her aborted crawl through the mud, all it did was drip a bit. A casual glance at Slash was all she needed to summon the hobgoblin up after her.
You'd better know what you're doing this time. Otherwise, I'll give you a lot worse than a kick in the head.
They flew over the cracked plain of ice, the wind ruffling her cloak. She spun Slash over and raised him higher until his nose nearly scraped the top of the cavern. Then she brought him back down.
Keep an eye out for pixies. Most of them will probably be with the queen, but there may still be a few down here with us.
Vika flew between the treetops, trying to stay as low as possible. Avoiding the brown, dying branches was easy enough. Vika increased their speed. At most, Vika had expected to face only a handful of pixie guards. She had been correct. Only 5 pixies perched on the rock around the entrance to Straum's lair, clinging to the icy stone like glowing flies. A 6th stood on the back of what might have been a cousin to the winged burning snake that had tried to ambush them beneath the ice. The only real difference was that this snake was as wide as Slash's thick head and long enough to wrap its body around them both from head to toe without a bit of space between the coils.
So much for sneaking in.
Vika guided herself and Slash down behind the top of a nearby tree. dry, papery leaves offered some cover, assuming the pixies hadn't already spotted them. The snake reared up, wings fluttering as it looked around. It actually left the ground, flying low over the ice as it hunted. A tongue of green fire flicked from its mouth. Vika could feel tremors passing through the magic around her like waves in a pool. The snake was tasting the magic, searching for them. For her. The instant she tried to cast a spell, the huge snake would find her.
Amateurs.
What are you talking about?
Making giant versions of normal creatures. It's a fairly basic bit of magic. Most apprentices learned to do it in their first year of studies. There were notes in my spellbook. Giant bats, giant rats, giant snakes, giant earwigs. Most of the time they all die within a few days. The larger body isn't proportioned right. But occasionally someone gets lucky. That's why you get giant weasels rampaging through a village, or giant dung beetles rampaging across the country in search of giant privies.
Can you do it? Better yet, can you undo it?
The notes in my book, they weren't complete.
Slash didn't say anything. Vika almost wished he would. She opened her hands, staring at the goblin prickers she had carried. Her palms were dotted with blood from clutching them too hard. She hadn't even felt the spikes pierce her skin.
What next?
Give me a little while to think this through. I just might have an idea.
Jig felt fingers prying at his jaw, shoving something between his teeth. One of Grell's sugar knots, laced with clack beer. He bit down on the sugar knot so hard his teeth crushed the candy inside.
Give him a little time.
Easy for her to say. His arm felt as if it had swollen to triple its normal size, but when he opened his eyes, he found he was mistaken. It was only double. Gradually, the pain began to ebb a bit, becoming a deep, prickly feeling that began at the skin and penetrated all the way to the marrow. Jig grabbed his sword with his left hand. He used it like one of Grell's canes to push himself to his feet.
See, I told you he'd be fine. So, tell us how you plan to get through this battle, oh heroic one.
Jig scowled and sucked on the crushed remains of his sugar knot. He had been wondering the exact same thing.
Well?
Well what?
When do we attack?
Jig turned back to the pit, trying to flex his arm. His hand and wrist twitched a bit. He spotted Braff watching him. Now that Jig knew what to look for, he saw past the slack-jawed expression to the way Braff's eyes shifted from Jig to the other goblins to the pit and back, watching for threats from either side.
Braff, what's the best way to stir up a big wasp hive?
Braff grinned and fished a rock out of his trousers.
How many rocks are you carrying down there?
Don't ask. I'm fine as long as I don't sit down.
Braff slipped past Jig and hefted the rock.
Who do you want me to hit first?
Jig pointed to a bubble on the far side of the pit.
No, wait.
Why bother throwing rocks when Vika could use her magic to shoot them across? Jig glanced around, searching the shadows. Vika was gone. So was Slash.
What is it?
Nothing. Wait for my signal to throw. The rest of you, back into the darkness. We don't want to reveal our numbers yet. Braff might be able to hit two or three pixies before they figure out where the rocks are coming from. They'll send up a few to investigate, and we'll draw them into the tunnel. They'll hate it in here, and they can't maneuver as well.
Jig raised his sword and backed into the shadows.
Do it!
Braff's rock arced through the air toward the silver bubbles on the far wall. The rock hit one and stuck. Nothing happened. Jig glanced at Braff, who shrugged. Eventually, another of the two-winged pixies flew up to investigate the rock. This one was orange in color. He glanced up, then back at the bubble. With both hands, he pried the rock free and dropped it into the pit. He gave a signal to warn the pixies below to watch out for falling rock.
Tough nest.
Yes, it is.
The pixie was already descending toward a lower cluster of bubbles. Movement up above drew Jig's attention. Apparently, one of the pixies up on the bridge had noticed something. He started to fly lower, in the general direction of Braff and the others.
Can you hit him?
Braff produced another rocket. The pixie tried to spin out of the way, but he was too slow. Purple sparks exploded as the pixie spiraled downward, his light fading. Two more pixies hopped off the bridge, searching for their attacker. These were the four winged pixies, who seemed to be the warriors and guards. Jig could see the ogres peering down as well.
Them two?
Another rock flew. This time the pixies managed to dodge, though the rock did hit an ogre on the shoulder. The ogre didn't appear to notice. One of the pixies pointed toward Braff.
Get him!
The enslaved ogres leaped from the bridge and began to plummet into the pit.
Nobody ever said ogres were bright.
That was when the first of the ogres spread her wings. On Jig's shoulder, Smudge grew so hot he began to glow.
Unfair!
Jig counted four ogres, circling lower on enormous black wings. Bat wings? The pixies had been hunting giant bats, trying to capture them alive. Somehow they had grafted the wings onto the ogres, creating flying ogres. Similar to what Pinny had done to create the snake guardian with too many heads and no tail.
Weren't ogres scary enough already?
The first ogre reached the tunnel. Jig and Braff leapt away to avoid a spear thrust. Braff threw another rock, which bounced off the ogre's wing with no apparent effect. The ogre stabbed again.
Are you hurt?
She missed me. I landed on my rocks, that's all.
Beyond the tunnel, the ogre dropped out of sight. Another appeared from above, armed with a large club. He hovered for a moment. Jig's sword dropped as he rolled out of the way. Arrows spilled from his quiver, and he nearly squashed Smudge.
Sorry.
Jig tried to scoop Smudge off his shoulder, but the little fire spider was too terrified, not to mention too hot, for Jig to move. Sucking his blistered finger, Jig turned his attention back to the ogre. He peeled away from the cave to be replaced by yet another. Jig gathered his fallen arrows.
They can't get into the tunnel with those wings. Their wingspan is too great, and if they stop flapping, they'll fall. Braff, get back! They can't come in after us!
The new ogre scowled. He couldn't reach Braff or Jig, but he did manage to use his spear to drag his companion's club back out of the tunnel. Jig cursed himself for not throwing it out of range. They could have disarmed at least one of the ogres.
Well, this is an amusing little standoff. What next?
The ogre with the club returned. This time, a bright green pixie warrior rode her shoulder.
Rock!
Braff fumbled for a stone, but the pixie was faster. He flew into the tunnel and pointed. Braff fell, fumbling at his boots. The pixie turned to Jig. Jig grabbed his sword and prepared to charge, already knowing he couldn't get there fast enough. But before Jig had taken a single step, the pixie clawed at his shoulder. Smoke spiraled as the pixie fell to the ground, where he yanked a tiny dart from his shoulder and flung it away. Jig ran up and kicked the pixie. He slammed into the wall and slid to the ground. Grop hurried to retrieve the dart.
That's mine. I use it back at the lair. The others blame it on wasps. If you tie a thin line to the dart, you can yank it away before they swat at it and nobody knows.
Jig stepped away. Ogres hovered outside, and Jig could see other pixies streaking toward them from above and below. He turned to face the other goblins. Braff was using Grell's knife to pry his boot from his foot. The pixie had tried the same trick Pinny had used on Jig, constricting the leather. Braff had managed to get one foot free before it tightened too badly. The other appeared immovable. His face was tight from pain.
I heard bones snap. Can you fix him?
Even if I could, I can't break the pixie's spell on the boot. You and Braff stay here. Our attack should draw them away from the tunnel. If you see an opening, try to hit a few more pixies with rocks.
One of the goblins, Ekstol, waved his sword at Jig. He was another distillery worker, like Vika. His sword was in far better shape than Jig's weapon. The slender, double-sided blade looked as though it had been forged solely to slide through goblin throats.
Our attack?
I'm guessing their nest is strong enough to hold us. We can jump down and...
You're guessing? You're going to get us killed!
Probably.
Jig glanced at Braff, who nodded and pushed himself into a sitting position.
I'm not going out there! If you try to...
Ekstol's sword dropped to the ground, followed by Ekstol himself. A bit of blood trickled down his head where Braff's rock had hit him. Jig scooped up the sword and gave it an experimental swing. Much better than his own weapon. He pointed to two of the goblins.
Toss them onto the nest, then we'll know whether it can hold a goblin.
The two goblins looked at one another, then at Extol.
Right!
What about the ogres?
Jig scooped up the dead pixie. Hopefully the ogres wouldn't realize he was dead. He flung the body out of the tunnel. All four ogres dove, trying to catch him.
Go!
Extol's eyes opened wide as the goblins pushed him over the edge. Jig peered down. Extol had nearly missed the nest. He lay at an angle, his feet pointed upward, looking as though the slightest movement would send him slipping into the abyss. Already the pixies were zooming toward the panicked goblin.
Here!
Jig started to throw Extol's sword down to him, reconsidered, and tossed his old broken sword down instead. Extol caught it by the blade, which would have been a problem if the weapon hadn't been so dull. He clawed his way back to the rock, where he stood and waved the sword with both hands. That answered the last of Jig's questions. Sticky as the nest was, they could still move about.
Everyone, get your weapons ready! Spread out! Try to cut your way into the nest! Make them come up close to fight so you have a chance to stab them before they use their magic!
A rock flew by Jig's head, momentarily driving the pixies back. Below, Extol was frantically cutting a hole in the nest. None of the goblins had moved. The two who had tossed Extol down were still standing at the edge, watching him. Jig tucked his sword under his arm. He pushed them both down to join their frantic companion. It took a bit of threatening with both his sword and Braff's rocks, but eventually the other goblins followed. Jig caught the last three before they jumped.
You're the smartest goblins I've got.
Why do you say that?
You haven't jumped yet. You're the ones I need with me.
Doing what?
We're going to kill the queen.
Jig unstrapped his quiver and handed a few arrows to each goblin.
The tips are steel. Throw them like spears to keep the pixies back, but save one or two for when we reach the queen. We'll have to fight our way through any guards.
Jig put two arrows back into the quiver, keeping a third ready in his hand. Extol's sword was too long and slender for his old sheath, but he forced it. He stepped to the edge and froze. The others stood close behind, waiting for Jig's order. Wind buffeted his face. He tried to tell himself he was waiting for the right moment, giving the other goblins time to spread around the nest. Several had already fallen into the pit, and the rest were scrambling away and cutting into the silver bubbles as fast as they could. The hive was right below, only a short jump. The others had landed safely. Well, aside from Jalark, who had leaped a bit too enthusiastically. Even Braff's rock had stuck. Jig wasn't going to fall. The nest would hold him. One of the remaining goblins, Noroka, shook her head.
This is crazy.
We're going to let the others fight the pixies while we sneak down through the hive. Do you think I'd be doing this if it wasn't the safest part of the whole plan? If you want, you can stay behind. But look what happened to poor Braff.
With that, Jig sat down on the edge, put his arrow in his mouth, and before he could stop to think about what he was doing, pushed off. The short drop felt like an eternity. His feet hit the nest. The silver bubble felt like warm clay, sinking beneath his weight and sticking to his boots. Some of the fog rose from the nest itself, the warm surface interacting with the cold, damp air. With one hand pressed to the icy wall of the pit, Jig made his way to the next bubble. He looked up.
Hurry!
Nothing happened at first. Grop dropped down a moment later, rubbing his head. Several pixies were already streaking toward them. Jig hurried to the next bubble. He could see where some of the goblins had cut their way into the hive. The punctured cells sagged and wiggled as the goblins moved about. Farther on, the pixies had added a second layer of bubbles, thickening the hive. If Jig could reach that point, the extra layer might help to conceal him. On the far side of the pit, a goblin poked his head out of a damaged bubble and threw his knife at an unsuspecting worker pixie. The pixie fell. The goblin's gleeful expression vanished as pixies and ogres swarmed toward him. Jig drew one of his two remaining arrows and threw it at the closest pixie. The pixie veered away, and Jig hopped to the next bubble, landing beside the smashed body of one of his goblins. Peeling the goblin from the bubble, Jig flung him onto the head of an unsuspecting pixie below. The goblins who had gone first all appeared to have followed Jig's instructions, spreading out and taking cover in the hive. They were doing quite well for goblins, which meant they weren't all dead yet. From what Jig could see, almost half were still alive and fighting. An ogre was coming directly at Jig. Jig drew his remaining arrow and waited. The ogre drew closer, closer. Jig fainted with the arrow, then leaped to the next bubble. The ogre hit the rock head first and fell back, clutching his scalp. The impact didn't seem to have stopped him, reinforcing Jig's private theory that ogre skulls were stone all the way through. It did make the ogre an easy target, though. Grop threw one of his arrows, the point lodged in the ogre's wing. He flapped his other wing harder to keep from falling. Jig jumped one more time, and he was there. This part of the hive was firmer, supported by the second layer of bubbles. Praying this would work, he reversed his grip on the arrow and shoved the head into the silver surface. Sour air rushed from the puncture. The walls were thicker than they looked. He could probably push his thumb into the hole, and his claw would just reach the other side. The wall sizzled and smoked where the arrowhead touched. Moving as fast and as carefully as he could, Jig carved an opening wide enough for him to squeeze inside. This was too much for Smudge. The fire spider raced down over Jig's chest, smoke rising with each step, and stopped near his pouch. He turned all eight eyes, pleading for Jig to open his hiding place. Jig loosened the laces with one finger to let Smudge scurry inside. Sweat dripped down his face as Jig crouched within the bubble. These chambers might be quite cozy for a pixie, but Jig barely fit. He jabbed his arrow into the floor, punching through to the next one. Jig prepared to cut through to the next cell. He bent down, and the edge of his sword pierced the side of the bubble. Jig grabbed his sheath, pulling the blade back, but the damage was done. A long, smoking gash opened into the next bubble, where a bleary-eyed yellow pixie was stirring. Apparently, when pixies slept, they slept hard. The pixie blinked, horror replacing weariness as he spotted Jig. Jig drew back the arrow to throw, just as the pixie's light flared. The wooden shaft crumbled, and the feathers of the fletching twined together and tried to fly away. Jig squeezed through the opening and punched the pixie in the face. The pixie bounced off of the far side of the chamber. Jig grabbed him by the wings and threw him against the flattened part of the bubble, the side that clung to the rock. As the pixie collapsed, Jig realized he was grinning. He liked being bigger than the enemy for once. The nest muffled sound well enough he could barely hear the battle outside. No wonder this one hadn't woken up. He wondered how many more sleeping pixies they would encounter. The bubble shook slightly as Grop dropped into the one behind him.
The other's still coming.
Vara got pixie charmed and tried to stab me in the back, but Naroka tossed her into the pit. Or maybe she wasn't pixie charmed. Vara never did like me that much.
Jig shook his head. If he was remembering right, they had a long way to go before they reached the thickest part of the nest, where he hoped to find the queen. He looked at his lone remaining arrow, then at his sword. The arrowhead was small enough to control, but the sword was faster. He was a goblin. Caution was for those who actually expected to survive a battle. Jig returned the arrow to his quiver and climbed back into Grop's chamber. Squeezing past the other goblin, he drew his sword and slashed a hole in the far side. He lost his balance and fell. His sword opened a huge hole in the floor. The chamber below held another two-winged pixie. Jig impaled him as he plunged downward and grinned. Sure, he was down to three goblins against the pixie queen and all her guards, but in the meantime, this was how goblins should fight. Sneaking around, pouncing by surprise, and stopping only for a very quick snack. One problem with cutting through the inside of a pixie nest was that you had no way to know when you reached the bottom. No, that wasn't true. There was one way. Jig rolled away from the gash in the floor, pressing his body against the rock. He rested his sword across his chest, making sure the steel came nowhere near the walls of the bubble. From below, the wind of the bottomless pit fluttered the edges of the gash. He tried to tell himself he wouldn't have fallen through. The hole might be big enough for his leg, but not his whole body. He looked up at Grop and Naroka.
Don't come down!
Grop poked his head down from the chamber overhead. Jig could see Naroka settling in above him.
Now what?
Now Jig had to figure out where they were. He pulled out his remaining arrow and poked a tiny hole in the wall of the bubble, widening it just enough to see. He pressed his eye to the wall. Only a handful of goblins still fought. Jig saw an orange pixie swoop in to cast a spell, then tumble to the side. Jig hadn't seen the rock that hit him, but he was relieved to know Braff had survived so far. The queen was easy enough to find. A point of brilliant white light, orbited by pixies of every color. The white light perched in the center of a cluster of bubbles, a rounded area of smaller bubbles that bulged from the rest of the hive. Jig closed his eyes, hoping that one brief glimpse wouldn't be enough to enchant him. He didn't feel particularly loving. Jig turned back to Grop and Naroka.
The pixies say all who look upon their queen will love her, so don't wait. We're going to cut our way through the hive until we're close enough to attack. If we're lucky, we'll have one chance before she enchants us.
And if we're not lucky?
One of the surviving goblins from the fighting above chose that moment to go tumbling past.
Any other questions?
Jig stood up and began cutting a path to the next bubble. He used his arrow, unwilling to risk a mistake. Naroka and Grop both had several arrows left. Grop had already proven his aim with that dart. A thrown arrow didn't have the force to penetrate deeply, but as they had seen with the flying ogre, even a weak hit was enough. As long as the steel lodged in the queen's flesh, they might actually succeed. A few bubbles over, Jig poked another hole to gauge their progress. He tried not to look directly at the queen, judging her location from the shadows and the other pixies. It looked like the pixies had taken over a small cave to use as the queen's chamber. An ogre stood at the edge, two warrior pixies perched on her shoulders. Other pixies sat on the bubbles above the cave, like tiny glowing gargoyles.
How much closer do we need to get?
A few more chambers. We should try to attack from the side. Naroka, you distract the guards long enough for Grop and me to cut through.
That was when something punched him hard in the back. Jig twisted his head to see Grop's arrow sticking out from beneath his ribcage. There was no pain, just blue blood dripping down the shaft. No, wait. There was the pain. Jig dropped to his knees. Grop pulled out another arrow and looked over at Naroka, who was staring from the next chamber.
That was a good plan. The two of us will attack together. Help me toss Jig's body out for a distraction.
Jig tried to reach around, but the effort made the arrowhead move inside him. Maybe he would just hold still.
Shadow Star?
Of course. The god couldn't hear him down here. Jig had no way to heal himself. He was alone. At least Grop and Naroka might still reach the queen. Not that it would do Jig much good. Then he saw Naroka contemplating her own arrow, looking from the tip to Grop's exposed back.
Naroka! Don't!
Grop spun as Naroka leaped. She landed on top of Grop and stabbed her arrow into his hip. The arrow broke, leaving a splintered shaft in her hand. With a shrug, she stabbed the broken end into Grop's side. Grop elbowed her in the head. There was no room to fight, and both goblins kept stepping near Jig. Claws and fangs ripped flesh. Jig tried to curl his body into a ball, keeping his wounded back away from the fight. The bottom of the bubble began to glow with golden flames. A hole opened in the floor beneath Naroka. Jig would have warned them, but he was too busy bleeding and cowering. An ogre grabbed Naroka by the ankles and yanked her out. Grop followed, his fangs still locked in Naroka's arm. Another ogre caught Grop by the neck and squeezed until he let go. Jig grimaced. Goblin jaws were stronger than any other muscle in their bodies, and the ogre had plucked Grop off Naroka like he was a rat. Another ogre pulled Jig down, bumping the end of the arrow against the nest. Hanging upside down by one leg, Jig closed his eyes and concentrated on not blacking out. As they flew toward the queen's chamber, he found himself feeling jealous of Vika. Wherever she had gone, at least she hadn't been stupid enough to rely on goblins to help her.